Hey guys, this is Pastor Austin from New East Bend Baptist Church. Today's sermon is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. Last week we talked about how Jesus is the door of the sheep, and this week we talk about how Jesus is the good shepherd.
Do you believe that Jesus cares about you? Truly believe that Jesus cares about you. Feeling cared for as a human is something that we all kind of crave, something we all kind of want. I think of my little 8-month-old girl. She loves attention, but she also craves care. She needs to be cared for. As little as she is, as little as she knows, as little as she understands, there is one thing that she does understand, the need to be cared for. And she expresses this desire to be cared for by whining or crying when she gets hungry, when she gets a dirty diaper and needs to be changed. When we walk out of the room that she is in and she wants us to come back. When she gets sleepy and needs to be placed in a crib for a nap, she craves care. She needs care. She wants that care. But it's not just the little ones that desire this care, this need for care. I think of many kids and teenagers who just want to be liked, who just want to be cared for, who just want and need attention from somebody. I think of many elderly who just want someone to come and have a conversation with them, to talk to them, to have a conversation with them because they crave and desire to be cared for. To be thought of. Being cared for is something that we all want in some way, shape, or form. And in some ways, we need it. And while we would not always get that from others around us or from those around us, our fellow people here on earth, there is one person who will always be cared for his own. His name is Jesus. He cares for you. Do you have feelings and cravings for being cared for? I want to be clear. I believe it's okay to have those feelings. It's okay to want to be cared about and cared for as long as it's not a pride issue. When it becomes prideful when you want to be known or want to be cared for in a way that brings you glory and honor, it really becomes a problem. Do you find yourself looking for advice and leadership through difficult times or even good times, looking for someone who cares enough about you just to give you a little bit of advice? I find myself often, even now, calling my dad and asking him questions about whether I should do this or whether I should do that. Is this the best way to do this? Or would it be better to do it this way? Asking him for guidance, looking for some guidance. Church, let me tell you one whom we serve, who cares deeply about you, who knows you, who leads you, and cares for you so much that he gave his life for you. Jesus knows you. Jesus wants to lead you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus gave his life for you, all because he loves you and cares so deeply about you because you are his. My hope is that as we make our way through this passage today, that we will begin to see these expressions of who Jesus is as the good shepherd. That you will see that he knows his own. That he knows who you are. That you will see that he wants to lead you and guide you and direct you. So many times in our prayers when we ask for guidance, we ask for directions. And I want you to know that Jesus wants to be that for you. He wants to lead you. Then you will understand and know that Jesus cares about you so much that he will protect you and that he will never abandon you and that he put his life on the line for us. The greatest of all those is that you will know that Jesus laid down his life for you. That despite your flaws, despite your sin, despite your messed upness, Jesus cares so much about you, he gave his life for you. My purpose in preaching from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30, is for you to see how cared for you are as a child of God. Because we follow the good shepherd. In our passage today, we are going to see four expressions of Jesus as the good shepherd. Four expressions of Jesus as the good shepherd. To kind of remember where we are in our series, we continue to go all the way back to kind of refresh our minds. The goal of these 7 weeks is when we move through the I am statements, is for us to answer the question, who is Jesus? For us to see who Jesus really is. To get a grasp of who Jesus is and what that means for us as believers, and what that also means for those who don't believe. To see who Jesus or how who Jesus is has such a tremendous impact on our lives. In such a way, it causes us to love him more. For us to see the need for Jesus in our lives, even more than he already is. Because when we love Jesus more, when we know Jesus more, we will want to share him with others because of what he means to us. We've already seen Jesus as the bread of life, the light of the world. And last week we saw Jesus as the door of the sheep. And as I promised last week, we're going to kind of finish figuring out what the rest of this means in this passage. We're going to see Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus as the good shepherd. In our passage today, we will discover four expressions of who Jesus is as the good shepherd. Our first expression that we see here is that Jesus knows his own. As the good shepherd, Jesus is the one who knows his own. He is the one who knows his own. Now I hope that you can recall from last week the description of how what a sheep pen looks like, what a sheep enclosure looks like. However, if you don't, I'm going to briefly kind of give you a little update. At the end of the day, when the shepherds have gone out, they're going to come back to their little courtyard, the place where they would live. And in the middle of where they lived, the neighbors that were also shepherds would gather their sheep up into one enclosure, one pen. And in this enclosure, there would only be one way in, one door, one entryway. And the sheep would go in, and they would go out through this door, through this entryway. At night, there would be a gatekeeper who would watch over the sheep. He would stand in the door. You would act as the gate. You would act as the door, protecting against thieves, protecting against predators. He was also the one who let them in and let them out. And if he went to sleep during the night, he would literally lay in the entrance of the door, in the entryway, going into the enclosure, to keep sheep from coming in and going out, or really rather escaping during the night, and keep other things from coming in. And in the morning, the shepherds would get there to get their sheep and take them out for the day. And the gatekeeper would know each of these shepherds. The shepherds would stand outside the gate and they would call their sheep out. During this period, it was common to actually name their sheep, to give their sheep a name. They would give them names based off of what they looked like, or maybe even acted like. So for example, similar to what we do with our pets, we name a dog that has spots, Spot. We name our cat that has socks, Socky, or Socks, or anything like that, or Cotton Feet, I don't know. You name them whatever you want to. But we tend to name things based off of what they look like, how they act like. Maybe you have a Spunky sheep, and you name that sheep Spunky, I don't know. Whatever you want to name it. It's your pet. But this is what the shepherd would do. They would name their sheep. Now that we kind of get an idea of what's happening in this passage, an idea of this parable, we understand and picture the shepherd standing there, calling out his sheep. Standing there, calling his sheep by their name. There's two things for us to note about Jesus knowing his own. The first thing is that Jesus really does know his own. Look with me in verses 2 through 5. Jesus says, "But he who entered by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Jesus has given us a picture of a shepherd who knows exactly which ones are his sheep. A shepherd who knows what his sheep's names are. A shepherd who knows exactly how many sheep he has. And just as a good shepherd would know his sheep, would know their names, would know how many they are, Jesus is saying the very same thing. He is saying that he is the good shepherd who knows his very own. Jesus tells us in verses 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Jesus is an expression that he knows his own. He knows exactly every person who is going to be a part of him. He knows exactly every person who is and who will believe in him, who will be a child of God. Jesus already knows them. Jesus knows who his people are because he is a good shepherd. He knows who we want. We believe that Jesus is God. And we believe that God is all-knowing, that he knows everything, which means that God would also know exactly who belongs to him. It means that God knows who all his children are. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, "But God's firm foundation stands. Bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his." The Lord knows those who are his. And if God knows them, then that means that Jesus knows us as well. God knows his own. Jesus knows his own. And how comforting is that for us? To know that our Savior, the God who we believe in, knows exactly who we are. He knows our name. Jesus is not some country music star that has thousands and thousands of followers, or some athlete that has a lot of people that come to a baseball game or a football game and has all these fans that sit there and watch them. Jesus is not that person. Because those country stars, those athletes, they don't know probably, I would say, less than 1% of those people that follow him. Jesus knows each and every one of his followers. Isn't that amazing for us? How would we want to serve a God that doesn't know us? Jesus knows us. He knows each and every one of you. And not only does he just know you, he knows your name. And he speaks to you. He speaks to us. Just as the shepherd would speak to the sheep, so also does Jesus speak to us. And we respond because we know his voice. That's the second thing that we need to know from this expression. His own, the believers, and those who will believe, know Jesus' voice. When the shepherd stands at the door and calls the sheep by name, they hear his voice, and they come and they follow him. Listen to these verses from throughout chapter 10. And please, as I read these verses, read them in your own Bible. See them for yourself. I want you to see this in God's own word. In Jesus' very own words, verse 3, the last part of verse 3. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out." The sheep hear his voice. In verse 4, "When he puts forth all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." In verse 16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." We go on to verse 25 and 27. The Jews have asked Jesus if he is the Christ because they don't believe in him. They don't think that he is. And Jesus says, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, that these testify of me." I want to pause here. These works that Jesus is telling them about is all the miracles Jesus had done prior to chapter 10. In chapter 2, he turned water into wine. In chapter 4, he healed a noble man's son. In chapter 5, he healed the lame man that had been lame for 38 years. In chapter 6, he fed the 5,000. In chapter 9, he healed a man that was born blind. And many times throughout these first chapters, Jesus made it known that he and the Father are one. He and the Father are one, even as he does in this passage in verse 30. Jesus had made himself very known to these people, but they didn't believe. Jesus tells us why right here in verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. The reason the Jews didn't believe was because they were not a part of Jesus' sheep. However, those who are a part of Jesus' sheep follow because they already know the shepherd's voice. His voice has already been made known to the sheep, and they follow the voice that they know, the one they know. Church, Jesus is saying the same thing in these verses. He is telling us that those who believe and are going to believe because they already know the voice of Jesus. And when Jesus calls them, they will hear his voice. They will recognize his voice because they know it. They will step through the door and into Jesus and have eternal life. And this means one thing for us as believers now. We must continually share the gospel because we don't know who is a part of Jesus' Father's sheep. We are commanded in the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them. Romans 10, verse 14 teaches us that those who call on the name of the Lord must first hear, and someone must tell them. It is a responsibility of ours to take the gospel to all people, to all those around us, because there are some that will hear Jesus' voice and will follow him. And those that follow Jesus will follow his leadership because Jesus leads his own. And that brings us to our second expression. Jesus leads his own. As the good shepherd, Jesus is the one who leads his own. For this expression, there are two things for us to recognize here. The first thing for us to recognize is that Jesus leads and goes before his sheep. In high school, whenever I played sports, I had coaches that were very good at being good leaders. Whenever I ever needed to be coached or directed or led in some way, they wouldn't just tell me how to do it. They would show me how to do it. They would demonstrate it for themselves. They would display it for themselves. And then I would follow them in what they had taught me. Oftentimes I found myself calling my dad, who has served as a leader in my life, and asking him for guidance and advice, asking him for directions. But my coaches, and even my very own dad, doesn't even compare to the guidance and the leadership that Jesus does for us. Jesus is always the better leader, and we should always look to him to lead us. Verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his sheep, all of his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I explained that shepherds in Jesus' time last week would lead their sheep. They would walk in front of their sheep. Here in America, we drive the sheep. We get behind them and we push them. We push them in a direction. But there, they would walk in front of them and they would lead the sheep. The shepherd would take them to green pastures, take them to the watering pool. And the sheep would trust their shepherd and they would follow him. Church, we too must see Jesus as the good shepherd who leads us, who has his best interest in mind for us, not our best interest in mind, but has His best interest in mind for us. In the Old Testament, God was the shepherd for Israel. He would lead them, He would move them, He would take them wherever He wanted to. He led them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness, led them into Canaan. In the New Testament, we see Jesus as the good shepherd. He's just as God is. He leads us, He guides us, He directs us, and we must follow Him. The shepherd trusted their shepherd, excuse me, the sheep trusted their sheep. The sheep trusted their shepherd to lead them to green pastures, to lead them to watering holes in order to provide for them. And we can trust our shepherd is going to lead us to green pastures and watering holes. He fills us with His bread and His water. He will provide for us. This does not mean that life will be just fantastically awesome, because pain and suffering are still very much evident in our lives of those who believe. Sin is even still very much evident in those who believe. But it does mean that we must trust Jesus' plan, and we follow Him. We pray, we ask Him for guidance and direction. We pray, we seek out His plan, and where He wants us to lead, where He wants to lead us to. And when He reveals these things to us, it means we follow Him, trusting that He is going alongside of us the whole way, because He is the good shepherd. The second thing for us to recognize in these verses is there is only one voice that we should be following. One voice that we should follow. We must not follow strange voices. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, God has given a commandment to Adam and Eve to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But then a strange voice came by, a very strange voice, and they decided to follow this strange voice. The strange voice began to ask them, says, did God actually say, it told them, you will not surely die? Satan was the strange voice. Satan being a deceiver, Adam and Eve had followed this strange voice instead of the voice they knew, God's voice. And even them following a strange voice, it led to sin being brought into the world, corrupted even you and me. As children of God, as believers, as followers of Jesus, let us hold fast to the shepherd's voice. Let us hold fast to Jesus' voice alone. You may be asking yourself, how do I know if it's Jesus' voice? How do I know it's not a word, voice of a deceiver? If what you are being told is in any way contrary to this word right here, let me tell you, it's a strange voice. It's a very strange voice. Don't listen to it. Don't follow it. Follow the voice of Jesus. Our third expression that we have is that Jesus cares for His own. As the good shepherd, Jesus is the one who cares for His own. Read with me, beginning in verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The shepherd of the sheep during this time period would lead their sheep out to green pastures and water holes, as I've already said. However, this does not mean that predators would not come around. And the shepherd's job was to fight off these predators, to defend his sheep, to care for his sheep. In this case, Jesus speaks of wolves and how wolves would attack and snatch up some of the sheep, scattering them all around. But then in this expression of Jesus, there are two things for us to know. Jesus puts His life on the line for His own, and He never, ever abandons His own. The first thing that Jesus puts is that Jesus puts His life on. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. What Jesus is teaching us here is that the good shepherd is willing to fight to the death to protect his sheep. I think of David in the Old Testament, who would fight against bears, who would fight against lions. I don't know many people who could do that without a gun. But David had a sling, and he trusted that he died. That he died to take care of him, doing everything he could to protect his sheep, fighting all the way until he had defeated the sheep. And Jesus is saying that he is here to protect his sheep, to protect his sheep from wolves, to protect us from Satan and the fiery arrows that he fires at us, as Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 6, to protect us from sin. When you come to a time in your life when you feel as if you're being attacked by Satan, attacked by his demons, attacked by the world around you, look to Jesus and he will be there for you. He will put his life on the line for you as he defends against the devil for you. When facing temptation, you must look to Jesus, because when we look to Jesus, we remember what he accomplished for us on the cross and how he laid his life down for us. That leads us to the second thing that we should know about how Jesus cares for his own. Jesus is the one who doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. Jesus is not like the hired man who is not a shepherd, who doesn't know the sheep, who doesn't own the sheep, who doesn't care for the sheep. He is not like the hired man who sees danger coming and just flees. The hired man runs. The hired man flees away, running, trying, caring only for himself. But church, Jesus is no hired man. He is the Son of God. And he is here to protect you, to care for you. And when the wolf comes, he will fight for his own. He doesn't back down. He doesn't run away. He doesn't flee. He doesn't abandon his own. He stays and protects. And Jesus does that even for you and me today. We just have to look to him and rely on him. There are so many psalms that point to the Lord being our refuge and our strength. I think of Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Psalms 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is our light and our salvation, church. And we should never fear those attacking us, because the Lord is our refuge, our strength, our hiding place, our shield, our light, our salvation, our stronghold. So let us not be afraid to trust in Jesus and the Lord's protection, because we will never be snatched out of the hand of Jesus, as he said in John 10, verses 28 and 29. We have seen that Jesus knows his own. We've seen that Jesus leads his own. We've seen that Jesus cares for his own. We will now see our last expression of how Jesus laid down his life for his own. Expression number 4, Jesus, as the good shepherd, is the one who lays down his life for his own. And when I say this, I'm not meaning laying down his life in the form of like protection as I did earlier. I mean, Jesus literally laid down his life on the cross for you, for his own. He literally gave his life for those who believe in him. Look at verse 14 with me. And follow me. He says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and all know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my own authority. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There are two things for us to know here. We're going to quickly go through these. The first is that Jesus laid down his life for you. for his own. Jesus is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. He gave his life. What's even more glorious about this passage is that Jesus is telling them this before he ever went to the cross. The Jews wouldn't have fully understood what he meant. No one could have really understood what Jesus meant, because the cross hadn't happened yet. But we, on this side of the cross, have the beauty of seeing the goodness of what Jesus means when he says this. We know that Jesus is literally going to lay down his life for his own. And that Jesus did actually do that. He did that. And his own included not just Jews, but also Gentiles, as verse 16 points out. That he has other sheep that are not of his fold, and that he must bring them also, that they would listen to his voice. I praise God for that. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any Jewish in my lineage. I would be a Gentile. This is probably many of you are. Praise God for that. But he didn't just come to save those who are Jews. He came to save those who are also Gentiles. All people. Jesus is saying that it's not just the Jews. It's also the Gentiles. There's a reason why Jesus is able to even lay his life down. That's because he has authority. The second thing for us to know is that Jesus has the authority to give his life. We read in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I'll lay it down on my own authority. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Church, Jesus came with authority, and even today he still has authority. He was able to lay his life down because he had the authority to do so. He had the power to do so. Even though he had the power, he could have saved himself instead of dying sacrificially on the cross. He gave his life anyway. He did so anyway. He died on the cross because he loves and cares so much for his sheep. It was by his own authority that he gave his life, and that he was able to take it up and be resurrected. Jesus gave his life for you. Praise him for that. And you who are here today and don't believe in Jesus, you've been sitting here this whole time pondering the things of God, pondering if this Bible has any meaning to you, pondering if Jesus is worth it, pondering about whether you are really cared for and protected by the way that Jesus cares for those that believe in him, pondering if you are hearing the voice of Jesus, calling your name to us. If that is you today, place your faith and trust in Jesus, and believe in the things he did. Believe that he was born of a virgin. Believe that he lived a sinless life. Believe that he died sacrificially, that he laid down his life for you. Believe that he was raised from the dead, overcoming both sin and death. And repent of your sins. And trust in Jesus alone, and you will be saved. Believe in Jesus. Now, in our sermon today, we've seen four expressions of who Jesus is as the good shepherd. We've seen that Jesus is the one who knows his own. Just the shepherd knows the names of his very own sheep. So too does Jesus know those who believe in him. We saw that Jesus leads his sheep and how that we should follow Jesus. We learned that Jesus cares tremendously for his own. By the way, he protects his own. He never abandons it. And finally, we learn that Jesus laid down his life, died a sacrificial death on the cross for those who believe in him. And as always, we must ask ourselves, how are we to live this out? What has God's word taught us today? How can we live this out? We live it out by living our lives knowing that Jesus cares for us. Knowing that Jesus cares for you. I think far too often we go through life and we forget that Jesus cares deeply for us. We forget that Jesus knows who we are. We forget that Jesus wants to lead us. We forget that Jesus wants to protect us. Let us not live our lives in a forgetful way of who Jesus is, but live our lives in a way that remembers and knows that Jesus is the one who moves you, who leads you, who protects you, cares for you. Live your life knowing that Jesus gave his life for you. You can trust him. I think it's Psalm 23. Many of us know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. We can trust these words. We can know that Jesus is leading us to green pastures, still waters, providing for our daily needs. We can know that Jesus is healing to restore our souls and lead us to righteousness. We can know that Jesus the Lord is with us even though we're in the valley of the shadow of death. We can fear no evil because Jesus is with us. We will forever dwell in the house of the Lord because we are his own. And we never forget these truths. And remember through all situations, as life happens, that Jesus cares for you. That Jesus cares for you. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for you tremendously. My purpose in preaching this sermon today was for you to leave here knowing that you are cared for by Jesus. Brother, if you spend your life with Jesus and trusted in him as Lord and Savior and believed in him and repented of your sins, I'll be standing up here in the front or at the back later in your room. Come find me. Let's have a conversation about this journey today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being a good shepherd. We thank you so much for being a God who cares about us. For being a God who knows us. God who leads us. God who protects us. A God who sent Jesus down on the cross for us. Lord, help us to remember this. Help us to walk through our life, remembering and knowing that you care for us, that you're there for us. Lord, help us to look to you in those times when we need you to lead us, when we need you to help care for us. Help us to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's sermon. If you have any questions about the sermon or if you want to learn more information about Neely's Bend Baptist Church, you can email me at austin@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.